A while ago, I don't remember exactly when, but a while ago I asked people to pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood. I want to let you know that those prayers are beginning to bear fruit. This summer, Father Weaver, our vocations director, has accepted 5 new seminarians for the Diocese of Harrisburg. So I want to thank you for your prayers. That's incredible. That's really great. If you haven't been praying for vocations, see how fruitful our prayers have already been. How much more fruitful would they be if you joined us? But this is an incredible gift. It's really great that we have these new men to join the seminary, to begin their formation for the priesthood. It's a long journey. For most of them, it'll take about 9 years before they're finally ordained. So I ask you to pray for them throughout their formation. It takes a long time, and it's quite difficult. I did it, I know, it's quite difficult. And I've been talking to my brother priests about these things recently, because we're really excited that they're going to do 5 new seminarians. That's increasing the number of seminarians in our diocese by like 40% or something. So I'm very excited about this. And we're all talking about it. Of course, that turned into kind of like reflecting on our own time in seminary and talking about, you know, what are these guys like? I haven't gotten to meet the new men yet. So I hope they're really solid. I trust Father Weaver. So I think he chose solid men, good men. And I hope that they make it through to priesthood, because that's God's will for them. And one of the things that I talked about with my brother priest is that when you're in seminary, after a while in formation, as you're in your like later years, you see the new men come in. And after meeting them and talking to them for just a short amount of time, you can kind of tell whether that guy's going to make it or not. There are just some tells. I want them to make it, but I want them to be ordained, but for some of them, there are just like a few things that if they say this or do that, there's a pretty good sense that you're probably not going to make it. One of the biggest ones, one of the most surefire ways to know if a guy was going to make it or not, if at any point he mentioned any sort of backup plan, he's not going to make it. He's not. I've never seen it work. If at any time one of the seminarians said in casual conversation, you know, I really want to be a priest, I think this is what God's calling me to, but if it doesn't work out, I have a job lined up for me. He's done. We knew right that was the end of it. If he says, you know, I'd really like to be a priest, I think that's what God might be calling me to, but if I leave, I'm pretty sure Sally will take me back. There's no chance. He won't make it through formation. Because his heart's not really in it. He's not really giving it his all. Because he's built contingencies. If we say, I want this to happen and I'm going to work toward this, but just in case, I'm also going to spend some time on this. That by definition, we're not giving this everything we have and are. We built a backup plan, we're expecting it to fail. This is not just in the priesthood. The young couple stands in front of this altar, makes their vows to each other, and the man thinks to himself, wow, I really love this woman. I promise to give her my life. But if this doesn't work out, I've got another girl I can go and pursue. It's not going to work out. And in fact, the church would say that marriage might be invalid, but probably not marriage. That's something else. If we're not giving it our all, these things which are truly worthy, then we're not really trying at all. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way, why expend your wages for something that does not feed you? Why waste your time pursuing what cannot satisfy? What cannot quench your thirst? How much of our lives do we spend pursuing things that we know won't satisfy us at the that we might enjoy them for a while. Might be nice for a little bit, but we know deep down won't actually satisfy the longing that sits in the center of our heart. God is the only infinite thing. He is the only thing which is truly endless. And we have in our hearts an endless hunger, an endless thirst, an endless desire that no matter how much other stuff we pour into that, the only thing which can fill an infinite hunger is infinite food. Our Lord, when he discovered that his cousin John had died, he went across the lake to be by himself and to mourn his friend and his cousin. And a giant crowd of people wouldn't allow that, and they followed him through the desert. And 5,000 families met him on the other side of the lake to be near him, to listen to him preach, and to see God face to face. That in itself is beautiful. If the story stopped there, it'd be a beautiful story, but the story keeps going. And we find out that at the end of his preaching, as the sun was beginning to go down, we discovered that those 5,000 families have between them 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They've been there all day in the baking sun, listening to our Lord preach. After walking miles, desiring to be with him. And none of them ever thought to themselves, well, what are we going to have for dinner? Where are we going to stay tonight? None of them made a backup plan. Well, what if Jesus doesn't want to talk to us when we get to the other side? Well, what if it gets too hot, we have to leave, where are we going to go? None of that mattered. Not an ounce of it. Because they knew on the other side of that lake, they found the only thing which can truly satisfy a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing else at all which truly satisfies us. I've been reading a lot of St. John of the Cross. If you know anything about St. John of the Cross, he's a Carmelite. He led a reform of the Carmelite order. And he was really, really intense. Actually, a lot of his brother Carmelites did not like him because he was so intense and really was calling the Carmelites to a much more sacrificial way of life, a much more difficult way of living the charisms of their order and growing closer to Christ. And he said, in the spiritual life, we have to give away all of those things which do not belong to us and hand them over to Jesus. And he said, as he was doing this and handing over to Jesus everything which didn't truly belong to him, he was giving away more and more of himself until he discovered at the end of the day, at the far end of this exercise, that he had to hand over his very self. Because even that didn't truly belong to him. But he belonged to Jesus. And if he was holding on to any part of himself and not handing that over to Jesus, he thought of it as stealing. He had to hand over everything. And he discovered when he did this, he finally completely let himself go and held nothing back in his relationship with our Lord. That he gained it all back 1,000 times over. This poor crowd of 5,000 families who gathers around Jesus out in the grassy field with nothing to eat in the baking sun. St. Matthew tells us that our Lord looked on them with love and he cured their sick. And he preached to them, and he fed them with his own hands. When our Lord Jesus Christ came among us to rescue us from our sins, to offer us eternal life, to bring us into the inner life of the Trinity, he did so by handing over everything, by shedding even the very last drop of his own blood, holding nothing back, but handing everything over for our sake. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, he deserves the same in return. Our Lord promises us that he can fulfill every one of our needs, every one of our true desires, every one of our real needs. But this will take much sacrifice. Offering over all those things which don't really belong to us, even including our very selves. And he also says, come to me, and you labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are hungry and thirsty. Eat and drink for free, without cost. Don't waste your time for things that don't really satisfy, for things that can never quench the thirst that you have for me. Only I can do those things. Only Christ can do those things for us. Therefore, hand over everything to him, hold nothing back, and know that in his love for us, he repays us to the full, beyond anything we could ever imagine or ask for. And know that only in him is all of our hunger satisfied, all of our thirst quenched. Only in him and in nothing else do we find our true and lasting happiness.